and now Evangelist David Shannon.
We'll open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. We'll begin in just a few minutes at verse 10. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. Now that's powerful. That's powerful. I know a few nights I've laid there and hear a noise and think, now I wonder if that's somebody or just something or if it's anything to worry about. And we just sung the words, we could still go to sleep because we know Jesus is safer than anything that can harm us on this earth. Let's always try to think about what we're singing. I know a gentleman I respect very greatly. And there are certain songs that he doesn't sing certain verses because he says he just can't sing those and mean it.
And I hope we all listen to what we're saying and what we're singing and critique it, evaluate it. And if we don't mean it, we shouldn't be singing it because we're teaching each other. And let's not sing a lie.
The subject of lying, truth.
It's a subject that has been debated and discussed for centuries. You see, if I were to ask you this morning, give me a definition of truth, you probably could write out on 1, 2, maybe the very most 3 or 4 lines, and you would say, now I've exhausted my definition of truth.
But yet Plato and Socrates and Aristotle and these gentlemen, they went for book after book after book discussing what is truth. There was a gentleman that was a butcher, and his wife told him that his 2 little boys had been lying to her about what they were doing after school. So he said, well, honey, tonight I'll take them out fishing and we'll talk about honesty and truth. And so it was time for him to close up his butcher shop, and there came a lady right as he was locking the door, pecked on the door, said, please, I only need 1 chicken. He said, okay, okay. And he goes back to his freezer and there's only 1 chicken in the freezer.
So he takes that 1 chicken and he goes back out to her. And he says, here's your 1 chicken. That'll be $2.55. She says, no, wait a minute. She looks real carefully at the chicken and she says, now that's a nice chicken. Can you weigh it, please? So he goes back and he puts it on the scales and it's a little bit under 2 pounds. He takes it back and he says, it's a little bit under 2 pounds. She pulls out a recipe card and she says, well, that's a nice chicken, but that just won't work. I need a chicken that's just a little bit more than 2 pounds. So he's a quick thinker. He says, oh, okay. Yes, yes, I'll get you a chicken a little bit more than 2 pounds. And he goes back and he closes the freezer door and he stands there for just a second. And that's the only chicken he has. He opens the door, goes out with the same chicken, stops at the scale, and he says, yes, just a little bit more than 2 pounds.
And he hands it to her. She says, well, wait a minute. Now that is that's a good-looking bird there. That's a nice-looking chicken. Boy, your chickens are so pretty, I'll take both of them.
Honesty. He had a good example to go home and to talk to his kids about. Brethren, how much thought do we give today about truth and about a lie? How much thought do we give about upholding the truth of God or living a lie? I suggest to you this morning that if you and I have not thought very often lately about truth, it's probably because one or all three of these 3 reasons. Maybe one reason is because you and I sincerely and firmly believe that we have the truth. So we give very little thought to whether or not we do have it. We just assume we do. We believe we do. And so we give very little thought to it. Maybe another reason that we give little thought to the truth is because we think that we put it above all else. You see, if I sincerely have made myself believe, not only do I have the truth, but I'm putting it above all else, I'll probably give little thought to truth itself. A third reason that might persuade us not to give it much thought is because we believe that not only do we have it, that we do put it above all else, but we also probably believe that we know enough of it to keep us out of danger. So since I know enough of it to keep me out of danger, there's no reason for me to go back and to learn more. Or there's no reason for me to go back and to reevaluate, to study deeper into the truths of God's Word. This morning, I encourage you. You'll probably hear the word truth till you're almost tired of hearing it. But please think in your life today, as we look at this lesson over truth, are you living the truth of God? Are you living a lie? And someone might say, now wait a minute, David, are we going to talk about truth and honesty as in communication? Are we going to talk about truth and honesty as in living the Christian life? And I persuade you this morning, brethren, that there is no difference in the two. You see, if you live the Christian life in truth, you will not communicate a lie. As a matter of fact, you can study God's Word and you can know that it is true. There is no child of God alive this morning that lies. None. There is no child of God alive this morning that lies. We serve a God of truth. We serve a God that expects His children to be children of that same truth. As we look at Paul's writings, I was amazed what originally started this in my mind. If you'll stay there, 2 Thessalonians. Let me read to you one verse here in Galatians. What, if you're in our adult Bible class, you read it this morning. He felt the need to say to those people of Galatia, Paul did, in verse 20, now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God, I lie not. Now you know from our studies that Paul wrote 13 epistles. Now those 13, a few of them were written to the same person or the same group of people. So Paul only wrote 10 epistles or to 10 groups of people. 13 epistles to 10 groups of people. Out of four of those groups of people, he felt the need to say the exact words, I lie not. Brethren, Paul wanted them not only to believe the truth, but to let them know, I'm living the truth. I'm teaching the truth. I'm preaching the truth. I lie not. Not in my communication. Not in my life. Paul was saying, in other words, I'm living the truth out. Listen to my gospel. Listen to me preach. Listen to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. This morning, let's begin with those things in our mind at 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. He's writing to some people here that have ignored the truth, and he says to them, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. Paul, you said three things there that I don't want to have any part of. Paul, you said that they were deceived. I don't like being deceived, do you? Well, that just really ruffles my feathers. That makes me angry when someone tells me one thing in order for me to do something or buy something or take care of a situation, and then the truth is later I found out they lied to me, they deceived me, and really, it was an entirely different situation. He says here, these people were deceived. I don't like being deceived. I doubt you do either. He says also that these people were involved in unrighteousness. That's a terrible way to live. We can't go to heaven living in unrighteousness. The third thing, and he says, those people perish. Paul, tell us this morning, why were they deceived? Why were they living in unrighteousness? Why had they perished? He says, because they received not the love of the truth. Brethren, this morning the same will happen to you and I if we do not receive the love of the truth. This love here is a love that cherishes. Not a love that says, you know, my hobby is reading. And I really love to read the Bible because that's my hobby. No, we're not talking to those only that love to read. Here, when he says they love not the truth, it meant that they did not cherish it. They did not hold it with a high reverence. Now, what is truth? John tells us that Jesus Christ is truth. Jesus Christ stood, and in His very own words, He looked at the apostles when they were so saddened that He was leaving, and they wanted to know, well, how can we get to the Father if you're going to the Father? And He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but
by me. Jesus Christ and His teaching is the truth. We read also in Ephesians, the 6th chapter and verse 14, when we put on the entire armor of God, what's the very first thing that is listed in that armor? The very first thing is the girdle of truth. Why is that first? Why should that be listed first? Brethren, I can try to slip on the helmet of salvation, but if I do not have a high regard for the truth, that helmet of salvation is just going to fall off. I can try to slip on the shoes of the gospel, but if I do not appreciate and respect the truth, those shoes of the gospel are just going to fall off. And the same for the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith. The other parts of the armor are not important if we do not appreciate and value the truth. This morning, I ask you again, do you value the truth? Do you love and appreciate the truth? Right now, there's reports coming back from brethren that are going over to Russia. And those people are lining up in long lines. And with tears in their eyes, they're taking a hold of a New Testament. And they're going home and they're reading it and they're reading it and they're walking for miles if they hear that the gospel is being preached somewhere. Brethren, they're starving for the truth. They want the truth. Just as Jesus said in Matthew the 5th chapter and verse 6, when He said, "Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake." Well, what will happen, Jesus? "They shall be filled." Brethren, how hungry are you this morning for the truth? How thirsty are you for the truth? We can't live without food. We can live even a shorter amount of time without a liquid. How hungry and thirsty are we this morning for the truth? In Acts the 2nd chapter, if you will turn over to Acts the 2nd chapter, and let's notice how hungry the brethren there were for the truth. In Acts the 2nd chapter, read with me verse 1 if you will. Let's have the setting here. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." So it's the day of Pentecost. Many, many people were gathered together. Now who was gathered together here, Luke? Luke writes in verse 5, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven." Jews from every nation under heaven had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the Pentecost. They hear a powerful sermon. As we look over in verse 37, 36, 37, and 38, their response is, after that sermon, "What shall we do to be saved?" His response is what they needed to know more about salvation. And at that point, they were to the point they needed to know to repent and to be baptized. They do that. Now notice what happens as we read verse 44 and 45. "And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart." Brethren, I've heard many descriptions on why these New Testament Christians sold their goods. And I've never heard one that was satisfactory until I heard it put in context. There were Jews from every nation. They were there only for a short time to celebrate the Pentecost. Now they needed to stay longer to hear a gospel. There was no New Testament they could pass out. So the only way they could stay is that they had food. The only way they could supply food is that they had to start selling their goods. And once they started selling things so they could eat, then they could continue daily in the teachings. Now, brethren, that's people that wanted to hear the gospel. They were willing to sell their goods so that they could stay and hear more sermons of the gospel of truth. We turn over just a few chapters. If you will, turn over to the 5th chapter. Notice the love of truth in the last 3 verses of the 5th chapter. "And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." They were beaten. for the gospel's sake, for the name of Jesus Christ. They were beaten, and they walk away and they rejoice. They're glad that they were counted worthy to suffer. Brethren, that
is men that love the truth. This morning, how much do you and I love the truth? We see just in 3 chapters' time, men and women that were selling their goods to learn the truth. We see men that were being beaten for the truth's sake
and say that, I'm going to rejoice in that fact. Yesterday, here at the building, the phone rings. And a woman, really, I don't even guess she said hello. Her first sentence was, can you please tell me the scripture references for why you do not have instrumental music in worship? So we began to talk. The situation was, she has a sister that is a member of the Church of Christ in Birmingham.
And so she had asked her sister about it. She wanted to know. She used to play an organ or a piano in a church. And she said, she never said anything negative, or the tone of her voice was never negative toward her sister. You could tell she loved her sister dearly. She didn't want to cut down her sister.
But she said, I asked my sister if she could tell me why. She said she couldn't tell me. She said, you see, I really enjoy reading the Word. She says, I read it through time and time again, the whole Bible. She says, but my sister, she's not a reader of the Word. Now, she's real faithful to the church. She attends regularly. Every time the doors are open, she attends. But she just won't read the Word. Brethren, how much do we love the truth? Think for a moment. How much do we love the truth? When we have men and women that are going out and working 5 days a week with expensive machinery, working in expensive buildings, operating very, very successful businesses, and then we come together for a Bible class to talk about things that were to be studied beforehand, and we have men and women that can't study a small lesson, but yet they can run a big corporation. How much do we love the truth? When we have young couples that can go out and they can start very successfully climbing the ladder of success, as the world calls it, but yet when we come together to talk about God's Word, they just didn't have a chance to do their lesson. How much do we love the truth? When the church across America is filled with young men and women that are in the top 10 in their class at school, but when they come to Bible class, they just can't even keep up with the book. How hungry are we this morning for the truth? Brethren, I hope that all of us, starting right here, going all the way back, will rejuvenate ourselves this morning for a hunger for the truth. My father-in-law and mother-in-law were able to pass through this week. Out of the places he's been, he always tells me, it's not new this weekend, he has always told me how much he enjoys teaching the young marriage class. And so this time he said something about the class, and I said, well, how's it going? And his face just sad, not good. He has a class of about 60 or 70, and he says one of his sentences was, I just can't get them to do their lessons. And then when we come in class, we can't have a discussion. Brethren, we're starving ourselves to death in the church. We're hoping and we're making ourselves believe that all we need to do is come when the doors are open. And if we'll just come when the doors are open, we're faithful. We're as faithful as we can be. And then if we just happen to study some on our own, that's just icing on the cake. Brethren, the Lord intended for you and I to know the truth. Why, Jesus? Why should we know the truth? Because the truth will set you free. Brethren, hearing a sermon second-handed is not going to set you free. But hearing the truth, digesting the truth, studying the truth, and living out the truth will set us free. This morning, we see as we read Paul giving these people the reason for their perishing. He said, number one, you didn't receive the truth. Number two, verse 11, this is the second reason they perished. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. A delusion is the wandering away or the seduction from the truth. And he says, now, you didn't receive the truth. Now, brethren, what's the common sense if you don't receive truth? If I tell you this morning I'm not going to believe the truth, what is the only other thing I can believe? A lie. So Paul writes and says, you rejected the truth. Now the only thing left for you to believe in is a lie. And brethren, lies destroy us. I think one of the most powerful statements in the story of Cain and Abel is one that we hardly ever bring out. You see, when we look at the story of Cain and Abel and we see how Cain went out and killed Abel, before that happened, there was a few very powerful points. He brought his fruit offering. Now, I believe with all of my heart that he knew better than to bring that fruit offering. But what happened? He left the truth. And he believed a lie. God's going to let it slide this time. God's going to accept this offering this time. Then, now this is what is amazing to me. God came in the third chapter in verse 7 and spoke to him and said, if you do well, won't I accept thee? Now think about it. This is God. God spoke to him directly and said, all you have to do is do right and I'll accept you. Now he has a chance again to believe the truth. He rejects the truth. He believes a lie. No, God's not going to accept me. So then he goes and instead of making it right, which would be the way to go, the truth, he believes a lie that the way to make it right is to kill my brother. Brethren, we must believe this morning. When we decide that we don't need the truth, there's only one other thing for you and I to believe in, and that's a lie. And that's why so oftentimes we can get caught up in sin and we say, how could I have ever been fooled? How could I have ever been deceived to believe that this is the way to live? Look at my life. Look at the life of my children. Look at the life of maybe the influences at work or at home. How could I have destroyed so many lives? And the fact is we've believed a lie. Because we can't see the truth, because we rejected it. In Acts the 5th chapter, Ananias and Sapphira, they believed a lie. Ananias went before Peter and he said, yes, this is all of the money for the land which I sold. Peter says, why do you lie to the Holy Spirit? The Lord struck him dead a few hours later, 3 hours later. Sapphira walks in. He asked, Peter asked, now is this the price? And he mentioned the lower price. And she said, yes. The same men that carried out your husband and buried him will carry you out. Now the amazing part about this is in verse 11 of Acts the 5th chapter, it says, as the church and all those that heard, they were fearful. Brethren, God does not allow a lie to remain in His people. Either the lie has to be cast out of the people, or the people have to be cast out of His church, but a lie cannot remain in the church. A lie cannot remain within the lives of the people that are His children. A very powerful example. But yet if we cast out the truth, that's all we have to believe in is a lie. Notice with me very quickly, verse 12. The third point, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They rejected the truth.
They didn't believe it. They said, we receive not the truth. So the only thing to believe in was a lie. Where did that put them? It put them in unrighteousness. Now someone might read this verse and say, well, that's not me, because even though I'm involved in sin, I don't have pleasure in sin. Brethren, this tense, this form, this Greek word pleasure is not pleasure as an enjoyment. It's the same way you and I use the word pleasure. Take, for example, if you're standing outside of a tourist attraction and the tour guide comes by and says, would you like to go through? And you and your family are trying to decide and you say, we're not ready right now. And the tour guide says, well, at your pleasure, you just come on over. What's that saying? At your willingness. Whenever you're ready, you step on over and we'll take you through the tour. That's what Paul says here. He says it was at your pleasure. It was at your willingness. You're stepping forward. You're saying, I'm going to be involved in this unrighteousness. That's where we find ourselves when we reject the truth and we believe a lie. We find ourselves in unrighteousness. This morning, is there anyone here that has rejected Jesus? You see, Hebrews says that the God we serve, that it is impossible for Him to lie. John says that Jesus is truth. John also says in the latter chapters that the Holy Spirit, he calls Him the Spirit of truth. And then even later on in John the 17th chapter, when Jesus is praying, he calls the Word truth. This morning, have you accepted the truth? If not, let us realize the only thing that we have left to believe in is a lie. Don't live a life being deceived. Live by having the truth of God. If you become a Christian on His terms, being baptized to wash sins away, but yet you've fallen away from the truth, come back to the truth this morning. We want to pray with you and for you. I challenge all of us this day to have a stronger desire to study the truth and to know it. If we can help you, won't you come as we stand? As we...